A marine heat wave in Fiordland is thought to be responsible for the bleaching of millions of sea sponges. It was first discovered in May last year, but marine biologist and professor at Victoria University of Wellington, James Bell, led a return trip to Fiordland this summer to investigate what's happened since then. To tell us what he found, I'm joined by James now. Hello there.
Hi, kia ora, Jesse.
We heard a bit of you yesterday on our Changing World, our science podcast. Tell us about your love of sponges, what they are and what you like about them.
Yeah, we seem to be getting a lot of coverage about sponges, I guess, at the moment. I guess one of the things I love most about sponges, I guess, is they've been hanging around on the planet for probably the last 550 million years, pretty much doing the same thing, sucking in lots of water and stripping out all the tiny particles and then spitting the water back out again. So I guess I kind of love the simplicity of them and the fact that they seem to have survived all of the things that the Earth's climate has thrown at them over the last hundreds of millions of years.
Where do they fit in the sort of the animal or plant kingdom?
They are definitely 100% animals. Back in the olden days, they were, I think, originally classified as plants, but they are definitely animals, yeah.
What do they look like?
They look like sponges, I guess, like the things that you wash yourself in the bath sometimes. Sometimes they can be big tubes, they can be really flat, kind of thin sheets of sponges. They're quite kind of diverse in their shapes and colours and sizes.
How easy is it to find a sponge? People might be thinking, well, I've never seen a sponge under the sea.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, actually. So if you went to pretty much any rocky shoreline and you put on your snorkel, your mask and snorkel, and had a look under the water, you would fairly quickly find sponges if you knew what you were looking for. They tend to be kind of really colourful little patches. They become super abundant, though, if you go a bit deeper. So all around New Zealand, if you go deeper than maybe 20 or 30 metres, pretty much everything is spongy. There are sponges everywhere. All those rocky reefs are all just covered in big sponges.
Is there much diversity within that category of sea sponge?
Yeah, so New Zealand has something like, at least 800-plus different species of sponge. So it's a really diverse group, and there are maybe 10,000-odd species of sponge across the world.
Tell me about the ones at Partia. Doubtful sound.
Yeah, so I guess last year our group reported during April and May a large-scale bleaching event, and the bleaching event was restricted to one particular but super abundant sponge down in Fiordland. And basically bleaching occurs when sponges and other animals get kind of stressed out, and they chuck out some of the small associated animals, in this case a little diatom, a little plant that lives in the sponge. They chuck those diatoms out into the environment, or they lose them, and in this case the sponge then shows through its skeleton, and it looks completely white, and that's when it's bleached. So we reported this back in May last year, and we returned to the Auckland in January this year to basically see what had happened to those sponges.
Okay, what did you see?
What do we see? I guess the really good news was that we saw lots of sponges of that species still there, and lots of them had recovered their colour, so they were back brown in colour. They'd obviously either reacquired or regrown those little plants that are living inside their tissues, so they were pretty healthy. Mm. But the other thing that we found is when we did our initial surveys back in April and May in 2022, we found a lot of the bleached sponges appear to have been eaten by, or were being in the process of being eaten by fish. They had big chunks out of them. And we didn't find any of those sponges with the big chunks out of them in our surveys this year in Doubtful Sound. And we think those ones have probably died or have been eaten by those fish.
Oh, that's sad. How many have been eaten, do you think?
So I guess we estimate somewhere between maybe 5 and 10% of the sponges. We don't see the eaten ones there anymore, and we don't think they could have grown back the tissue that was eaten. So we think that, yeah, they may have died, unfortunately.
Okay. 5 or 10% of sea sponges in Fiordland eaten by fish won't make the front page of the newspaper, but can you explain to us about some of the flow-on effects of this and what it might indicate?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's an early warning, perhaps, of the things that are coming or are imminent, or possibly even already affecting lots of other species, with regards to the impacts of kind of marine heat waves. So I guess a lot of scientists, including myself, have been you know, doing experiments for quite a long time, where we expose organisms to temperatures that we might expect in 100 years' time, or 2100. And a lot of those experiments only expose organisms to maybe 2 degrees more. But what we're seeing as a result of these marine heat waves is that organisms are already getting exposed to temperatures that might be 5 or 6 degrees warmer than what they're used to. So we're seeing like these intense periods of heating, which are almost certainly likely to impact other species too. And I guess while people, you know, might not think sponges are particularly important, the fact that they're super abundant in places like Fiordland mean they have quite important ecological functions, particularly related to the kind of water processing that I talked about earlier. They kind of, I guess, filter the water and all the particles and transfer food material from the seawater down to the seafloor where other things can eat it. The other thing is lots of things live in between and under the sponges as well. So it kind of creates a habitat for other things that get fed on by the kind of fish that you like to eat, for example.
What stage of the year last year were these sponges bleached?
Say that again, Jesse. Sorry,
What month did you visit last year and notice the bleaching?
We visited in April and then again in May time.
Yeah. Okay. That's sometime after the peak of summer, eh?
Yeah, it was, yeah. So the water temperature down in Fiordland was still, I think it was 5 degrees warmer than what it should have been at that time. It was incredibly hot. I guess with a heat wave, it's not just the maximum temperature as well, it's how long it lasts for. Mm. So you can have heat waves where it's just a bit warmer, but for a really long time, and that's sometimes just as bad as a really sharp shock of temperature.
What's happening with the water temperature this year?
So unfortunately, I guess as a scientist studying heat waves, it's fortunate timing. But when we were in Fiordland in January, there was a marine heat wave that started as we arrived in Fiordland, and it was an extreme heat wave. The temperature reached just over 20 degrees, which is about 4 or 5 degrees warmer than normal, and that continued for the whole of our trip and past when we left. And I guess slightly unfortunately is by the time we got to the end of our trip, we did see signs that some of those sponges were bleaching again.
Yeah, will you return around the same time as they were bleached last year? Will you come back in autumn?
Yeah, we will. So we also hope to go a bit sooner as well. We hope to go in March to see if, you know, full bleaching has happened again. I guess we talked about before, you know, 5 or 10% of the sponges perhaps dying. If that happened, you know, every year for 10 or 15 years because of heat waves, it might not take that long until there aren't any sponges left.
That's sad. People will have heard of Doubtful Sound probably, but not everyone will have heard of Breaksea Sound. Where is that and what have you seen there?
I guess that's just a little bit further south. It's one of the next fjords down, and again, a popular spot for people visiting Fiordland, I guess, and seeing the national park down there. Again, really, I guess, kind of similar results. We haven't been there again this year, but we have had reports from other colleagues working in Dusky and Breaksea Sounds, and there are signs again similar to what we saw in Doubtful Sound that the sponges there are starting to show signs of bleaching again.
Mm. By the way, your job sounds very interesting. You got enough people coming through, future marine biologists, if someone's listening and thinking, oh, this sounds like the sort of thing I'd like to spend my time doing.
Definitely, yeah, you should definitely. There's all sorts of cool stuff going on at Victoria University. We have quite a large group of marine biologists working on a kind of whole diverse range of things. And we have some school outreach programs going on as well that schools can get involved with. So, yeah, you know, drop me a line if you're interested in studying marine biology.
Non-marine
biologists are needed.
So what happens next?
I guess one of the things that we've been doing, so when we went to Fiordland in January, we brought back some sponges with us. So we could do some experiments in the lab. So we basically are at the moment running an experiment to recreate the heat wave in the aquarium that happened last April and May, so that we can try and understand why some sponges, like the one that was bleached, are really impacted by temperature and other ones aren't. So we could perhaps predict which species are and are not susceptible to these temperature and these marine heat wave effects.
Not just scientists who are interested in this, I see that your research work is being supported by a whole host of different organisations.
Yeah, that's right. We're really lucky to be supported by Department of Conservation, providing us access to the location. So remote place, a difficult place to get to. We really appreciate that logistical support. Also, we're supported by the George Mason Charitable Trust, who provided some of the equipment that we use and some of the funding to support us getting there, and also supported by the rock lobster industry down in Fiordland, and also one of the charitable trusts down there as well. Yeah, so we're well supported, lots of interest.
Yeah, you're painting quite a pessimistic picture of the future of these sea sponges. What can we do to avoid them bleaching and dying and things getting worse each year?
I guess it's one of those things that I guess people have thought for quite a long time, and maybe lots of people still do, that climate change is something that's a long way away. And, you know, we don't need to reduce our carbon emissions, those kind of things. But, you know, these impacts are being felt now and they're having kind of real world impacts, as I guess we're seeing around the country. And it's just really important that I guess everybody starts to do their bit a bit more for climate change stuff. Well, these things will be more frequent.
Good stuff. Nice to talk to you today. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you. Thanks very much for inviting me on.
Professor James Bell, Victoria University marine biologist studying the bleaching of sea sponges.